Instead we have, in the beginning was the Word. Why the Word? It's probably not because John was dealing with self-esteem issues and had a need to be noticed and therefore thought, I'm going to be original about this. Let's just forego Son. Everybody's talking about the Son. I'm going to be inventive here and say, the Word. Okay, probably not. Okay, John is the beloved disciple, and I think we can conclude safely that he is entirely content and safe in his relativity to Jesus and doesn't really need to be original. So it's a very deliberate use of the term to reveal something that the Son does not reveal. It's a very complementary revelation. The Son does not capture the second person of the Trinity. It reveals something of the second person of the Trinity, but it doesn't capture completely. Nothing in Revelation captures completely. We will only, when we see God, say, oh my, Logos, Word, Son, everything, you're everything and more. So Word, as we use it here, as it is used here in the prologue of John, translates the original Greek term logos, which of course is probably Greek to you, which is very difficult to translate. Okay, it's difficult to translate for me because for me too it's all Greek, and I don't speak Greek. And it's difficult for Bible scholars to translate. Greek was one of the languages spoken in the territories that Jesus frequented, as was Aramaic and Hebrew. And from what I've read, it is very likely that Jesus spoke Greek and spoke Greek in Jerusalem. John, whose mother tongue was Aramaic, chose to use Greek for some reason in writing his gospel, probably to be as faithful as possible to the words of Jesus. And the term logos can be found in many of the writings of the Greek philosophers of the time. So that's all fine and dandy, but what does logos mean? To say that the word means logos doesn't really get us very far. What is logos? Well, some have translated it discourse or speech, and some have translated it word, very much in line with speech or discourse. And we find, of course, the term logos having made its way into the English language. Theology, theologos, the discourse on the divine, or psychology, the discourse on the psyche. Discourse or word, however, I find is a rather exterior translation. It's a little too external when it comes to the use of the term logos here regarding God. And let me explain why. All we need to do is to consider a little bit the realm of our human experience to see that word or words are rather exterior. And so to translate what is being used to reveal the second person of the Trinity as word may be a little bit limited. A word, and I'm using them right now, or words are the expression of something else, correct? We use words to try to express something else that those words presuppose. So what do words or a word presuppose and express? Quite simply, thoughts. Correct? We use language more or less well to express our thoughts. In the act of knowing, each of us has a mind, and each day we exercise that mind, and in the act of knowing, we have thoughts. When you ask somebody, you can see they're puzzled or something. What are you thinking? I'm not going to say. You see, they're not going to use words, which would express those thoughts, which of course leaves you enraged. So anyhow, in the act of knowing, the mind produces concepts, which are in turn expressed via language. But the thoughts and the words are distinct, correct? And we experience that distinction very obviously when we find ourselves having difficulty expressing our thoughts. We begin to stutter and to drool and to babble, and then we just shut up because we cannot find words. Thoughts and words are distinct. Now, let's take it a step further. So we have words, we have thoughts or concepts,